Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen. I'm a monk from the Zen Monastery Peace Center and I'm your host for this evening for the update. I have with me a very special guest, a repeat guest. You may remember hearing from this guest, I believe it was last October, that we last had Awareness Junkie Man on with us. Welcome back, Awareness Junkie Man. Pleasure to have you on the show again.
Hey, thank you very much, Jen. I appreciate it.
So it's not why we have you on the show this evening, but I wonder just a few words about how you gained your title.
Well, it's very simple. Awareness is my game, and I am a complete junkie to awareness. And I come up with all sorts of reminders and practice tools to help me keep awareness in my awareness as I go about practicing.
And that is the trick, isn't it? Keeping the awareness in your awareness.
It is. It is the name of the game.
Yep. So I know you've been an inspiration to many as you've shared the ways that you've come up with to do that. And one of the places that you shared that publicly, and I believe the only in-person appearance that you've made with the Sangha thus far, was at this last year's bridge walk.
That is correct. It was a very, very fabulous bridge walk. I had such a great time, met wonderful people, and I crossed the bridge as I had promised.
Exactly. And so we have you on today to talk about this year's bridge walk. But why would we be talking about this year's bridge walk all the way in January? I wonder if you could say a few words about that.
Well, part of what I was considering about this as it was coming up was that I remembered the last bridge walk I participated in was the 9th annual bridge walk. And when I started to do my math, I realized that the bridge walk this year is going to be the 10th annual bridge walk.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, 10 years of people raising money to assist an impoverished slum in Cantalomba to become what they are now and to help them assist them to transform their own lives. It's just amazing. And so we have to do something. We have to do something.
Yeah, hard to imagine anything more inspiring to participate in than that, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Hard to.
Yeah, it's amazing. 10 years, truly, to imagine that this will be our 10th annual walk. It's really quite extraordinary.
It is. It is. And lots of people have participated since the very beginning, and lots of new folks have been showing up, and people have seen us do all sorts of amazing things at these gatherings, and I thought, wow, what can we do this year?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I know that that you're brainstorming about that, about what can
yes.
we do to make
and
this.
And it is storming.
And it is storming. to make this the best ever walk, kind of the biggest and best yet. And
that's right.
That part of doing that is really wanting people to know, talking about it all year, so that people who want to be part of that in-person huge celebration can begin to make their plans now to do that.
Yes, exactly. And part of that is to mark off the calendar immediately. Run over. Don't wait. That's what I found with awareness practices. Don't hesitate. Just stop, drop, and breathe and do everything in this moment, because this is the only moment there is.
That's such a great reminder. So in other words, so mark off October 1st, Saturday, October 1st, 2011. Just figure that's what you want to do and then figure out the details later.
Exactly, right. Life will provide the way. Only 1% of us has to be there for it. 99% of the rest comes from the universe.
That's so true, isn't it? But, of course, what conditioned mind wants to talk us into is, well, now let me figure out, is this going to work? And is this, and then they're going to... And that's just a recipe for, you know, nothing good ever happening. But instead, if I just state the intention, here's what I really want to do, and then let life kind of help me line up the pieces, it's so much more fun and relaxing.
Oh, completely. That's kind of messages on my recording right now. My little recording device that I use to remind myself, and I put the bridge walk on there right as well to remind myself of all the things that are very important to me.
Oh, I love that idea. That's a great idea. So if listeners out there are thinking, considering coming to the bridge walk, that one thing they could do is to put that on their practice recording and just
that's
say,
correct.
hey, life, hey, universe, I really want to go to the Bridge Walk. Will you help me kind of find a way to make that happen?
Yeah, exactly. And lots of ideas start coming in as a result of that. Yeah, very exciting.
Any particular ideas yet you want to share with us, or are we saving those for later?
You mean for the Bridge Walk?
Yeah, for the Bridge Walk.
I'm making lists. I've started, like, you know, I know that there are must be African drummers out there. I know that there must be some fabulous folks that can show up and participate in this way. And I know that there's going to be some technological way that folks from all over the country, if they can't make it to the Bridge Walk, can be somehow brought in.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep myself open to ideas all throughout the year to see what we can do to make this the biggest and best ever.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And, you know, one of the things that we've talked about doing here on the local end is making it as easy as possible for people who do want to come from afar. So, you know, could we have a little website up that would show people, you know, nice, cheap places to stay, easy ways to get here, you know, places to eat, things to see, ways to make it into make it worth it to come from afar, you know, other sites you want to see, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's great. A way to be kind to ourselves so that it's not something that we just find ourselves in and there's no resource at all, but there's all this support from Sangha
to support
Sangha as they come in.
And to support Sangha as they come in, yes. You know, I project that for the local folks, people who live in the Bay Area, part of it is wanting to share the fun. You know, we're so lucky that we live right here, and so it's relatively easy for all of us to get to the Bridge Walk and to be at that inspiring event together in person, and wanting to do everything we can do as the local Sangha to reach out to the larger Sangha, the far-flung Sangha, if you will, to give them the opportunity to have that same. It's just completely different to really be there on the day in person joining in the celebration.
Boy, that is just perfect. Everybody helping each other. We're not alone. We're all holding hands in this. It is very much a metaphor for how things are going on in the Cantalomba.
It is, isn't it? It's exactly parallel on the two sides of the ocean.
Yeah, that was the theme for this previous Bridge Walk, was love. So love was what bridges the gap between cultures, and it bridges the gap between everybody.
Yeah, it sure does. Yep, yeah. One of the things I wanted to say to our listeners is if folks have brainstorms of ways that they think of that this 10th annual walk could be special, you know, things that they could think to add to it, go ahead and email us at africa@livingcompassion.org, and we'll see if we can incorporate some of those ideas.
Yeah, and then if anybody needs any kind of fundraising ideas, I hear that there's a wonderful fundraising blog that's up on Living Compassion's website that folks can check out. They go down over to the left-hand side of the Living Compassion website. There's actually a scroll down for a fundraising blog, and there's stuff that people have done for the Zen Center, for Living Compassion, and for the Africa work. So you can see all the inspiring stories that people have written in about what they did, from bicycling across the country to climbing mountains to holding yard sales.
And how fun it would be, that's such a good point, to go visit that blog now. I think it's under fundraising everywhere, to go visit, get some ideas, set your plan. You know, a lot of us are going to be doing a best year yet plan in some form, or just setting intentions for 2011.
And, oh, that's perfect.
You know, maybe consider having this be part of it. And how fun would it be to set a fundraising goal for yourself and then to bring the check in person on the day of.
Wow. I love it. I see all these people with these enormous cardboard checks with numbers on them.
And you know,
I gotta bring mine.
Exactly.
I'm gonna be there.
And to point out to people that, as far as we're concerned at least, it is not cheating to build into your fundraising budget the plane ticket to come out. That is completely, I mean, you being here in person with us is a huge contribution. It truly is part of the project. And so,
it truly is.
So add that onto your fundraising goal. Have that be part of it.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's how we're going to make it the best and the biggest ever, is if everybody comes.
Yeah. You know, I think about those studies that they, I think it was in Washington, D.C., was it, where they did they had a whole group of meditators, I mean like hundreds, I think, of people, meditate for a certain amount of time, and they actually measured the crime rate that dropped significantly during that period of time. And I just had this image as we were talking of the love and the care that's communicated in the number of people that show up at that bridge walk. What's communicated to the folks in Cantalumba through that gesture is just, you can't measure it. It's just enormous.
Yeah, and as you're saying that, it's immeasurable to ourselves as well that we would make that kind of effort and commitment that, you know, when you said that the crime rate dropped, the voice busting increases to drop that crime rate, you know, within ourselves.
That's right. That's right. And if we can imagine that the cause of crime is self-hate, then that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Yes.
Yep.
It's the matter of where we're directing our attention. If we're directing our attention toward the voices, nothing good happens.
Yeah. Well said, Awareness Junkie Man. Thank you so
Thank you very much
for being with us this evening.
All right. Thank you.
We'll be having you on again, I'm sure, as we go through the year leading up to this historic event.
I can't wait.
Okay.
I'm going to mark my calendar. So Tuesday afternoons, open air.
Very good. Okay, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jen. Have a great show.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night.
And before I turn it over to Michael, we had a few announcements of upcoming things. One is I alluded to the Best Year Yet process that is happening here in Mountain View. It's an in-person workshop on Sunday, January 16th, I believe it is. And there is still space in that workshop. That's a really, really wonderful way to set intentions for yourself for the year. And then Sherry is going to be in Santa Barbara this very week, January 7th and 8th. I think it's an evening event on the night of the 7th and an all-day event on the 8th. And I understand that you can sign up for either piece. So I think those were the announcements. Michael, did I miss anything?
One thing, which is the at-home working meditation retreat is coming up on February 12th, and that's a date change from the 19th.
Very good. And that, is another great way for people who are not right here able to be with us at in-person events to participate from afar.
Great.
All right. Well, have a great show, Michael.
We will. Thank you, Jen.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. And yourself?
Great. Great.
Good. Good.
Glad to be
alive. We better, as soon as we wrap this up, grab our calendars and mark them because we do not want to miss the event of the century.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I had an idea pop in just as they were talking about generating ideas, so that's fun too.
Yeah, very good. Very, very good.
Yes, yes. And I want to remind our folks that if they could keep their conversations to one topic and about 5 minutes, that would be really great. Shall we jump in?
Yes, let's do.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, guys. It's Jonathan from London, from England.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hi.
Hey, Sherry. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How's it going so far?
It's good. I've had a great workshop today. I just wanted to I had so much fun with it because I decided to try and get into the next retreat, the Nothing Wrong With You retreat for January. But I couldn't get through to the monastery. I couldn't get the phone line disconnected. But as soon as I'd made the decision to try and get on it, I was just inundated with conditioning and self-hate. I've just been watching it all day in a way I never have before.
Uh-huh. It is something, isn't it? It's impressive.
It's impressive how... What was I thinking? Why was I taking time off work at such a strange time of year? It was like being a a child just told off by this furious adult. It was really, really eye-opening. So
I had a conversation with someone earlier today who was telling me about the resistance that comes up when it's time to record or listen to a recording. And I said, you know, the conversation went on a little while, and she finally said, you don't get it, do you? And I said, I don't get it. I really don't get it. I don't get the resistance. Now, I get why karmic conditioning resists. I get why ego is resisting. What I don't get is people going along with it. You know, it's like it's like defending a mugger, or you know, if what you're getting to see is how clearly it wants you to suffer, right? Because you've made a decision. There's an opening to do something really good for yourself, and it just hits you like a ton of bricks with what an idiot you are for thinking about doing such a thing. We step back and go, wait a minute, wait. This whole conversation is about keeping me in misery. I'm listening to that. Why? You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I think what I hadn't realized before is that as I've been doing the practice, as I've been getting more into it and all of that stuff, I haven't actually made a decision like that before to actually come out and see you.
Uh-huh.
And to do something perhaps that it thinks like, oh no, this is a whole new level for this one. He's really taking it much too seriously now.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the really hard opposition. And of course, like the retreat is full. I didn't know that, but the universe decided for me. But that's not really the point. I've had such a good workshop with it. Going to
right.
the phone, trying to get through, going back to your new book, reading the new book, meditating, looking at this sneering, mocking voice that's trying to stop me from doing any of it.
Yes. It hates you. It hates you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just wanted to report that. It's kind of a great start to the new year.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it? I mean, that's the turning point. When we really get, no, it's not taking care of me. It doesn't have good information for me. It's not me. It's not helping me. It's adding nothing to my life but suffering. That's all it's there for. Now, my only job, once I get that, is to practice turning my attention away from it and putting my attention where I want it to be. That, to me, that conversation about, oh, I don't feel like sitting, or I don't want to make a recording, I don't want to listen, you know, it's too hard, I'm too tired. Once you get it, that's the, to our lives, what Bernie Madoff was to finances, then it makes
right.
it really easy to say, I don't want to deal with you.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I just want to say thank you so much for your book. It is stunning, Sherry.
Oh, good. Good. Excellent.
What you practiced.
It was fun to do.
It's so good. And all the things that I've been trying to piece together myself from the archive, everything's there. It's just great to work with. So thank you so much.
I'm so glad. We'll see you over here before long, right? We'll probably talk to you before, but we'll see you over here before long.
Well, I'm looking at the April one now.
Excellent. Good weather. Nice time to be here. All right. Thank you, Jonathan.
Good
night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. That was an inspiring start.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's new year. We gotta enjoy it.
Yes. And we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Dana. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Dana. What's going on?
I'm from Michigan. Oh, it's so nice to meet you. It's an honor to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to have you with us. Is it a little chilly where you are?
Yeah, you know, we had a warm spell over the New Year. It got up to 50, and we're like spring, but now we're down back to like the 20s now, so we're more like Michigan winter again.
It's like home again.
Yes, pretty much.
What's going on?
And if I could say how much I love your new book. It's just, it's been a joy to read, and I have to tell you, there the illustrations. I always love the illustrations, but when I first started reading the book, I was having a particularly bad day, and I turned to the page where there's like pictures of like a burning house on fire and a zero bank account, and I just started laughing so hard because like these are things that I worry about, and just to see them in cartoons just showed me how absurd, you know, it is to have that going on in my head.
Yes. Yes. And the other thing that I like about something like that is we get to see how universal it is. You know,
yes.
So there it is on that page. I mean, people don't put things like that in a book because maybe one or two people will get it. You know, those things are there because we are all able to relate to those little pictures. And there's just such a feeling for me anyway of, oh, okay, I don't need to take this personally. This is just something that happens to humans.
Yes, it definitely helps not only to bring me back down to earth, but make me feel a little less crazy that I must not be the only one who worries about my house burning down while I'm gone, you know, or losing my job or having no money in my bank account.
Yeah. And those are... You know, those places where we're so vulnerable, you know, throw in loved ones, horrible things happening to loved ones, the awful diseases befalling us. And it just, again, continuing our conversation with Jonathan, getting that this, it really is a hideously cruel system, that it wants to take the places where we're most vulnerable and then present these awful pictures to us. For no reason but to make us miserable. I mean, worrying about it is not going to prevent it from happening.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. That's taken me a while. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought I lost you.
That's right. That's right.
I do have a question, if I may. It's interesting. The past month or so, I've been dealing with issues of anger again, which for a long time I really haven't had a big problem with. And so it finally has come to a head with a new coworker of mine in the past couple of days, and where I'm now that like I got out a lot of my frustrations to another fellow coworker, now I'm being kind of drowning in the guilt that I said, you know, things that I kind of gave my true feelings about this new person. And so I've gone from being very, very angry to now being kind of sad and upset and feeling like I feel, because I've been practicing meditation and reading books for, you know, a few years now, and I feel like I should be past having blow-ups, you know, getting angry like that. So it's kind of difficult for me to forgive myself after that, because I'm like, gosh darn it, you know, I thought I was past all this.
Okay, well, that's the first thing that we need to put to rest. We are never going to get past anything.
Okay.
Isn't that just heartening?
You know, it's a little bit sad.
Well, not really, because, you know, it doesn't mean that we can't learn to pay better attention and be more present and not fall into the same traps, but, you know, in the same way that you're tortured about losing your job and no money in the bank and your house burning down, you are tortured by conditioned mind to get to that kind of place that you were in about this person at work.
Okay.
So conditioned mind is... right? It's just going on and on, making cases, working you up. You know, you try to think about something else or forget about it or whatever, and it's right there. Look at that. Okay? And then you finally blow because the stress is built to the point where it's inevitable, and then you get beaten up for having done that. Now, all your part in it
is you fell for it.
Yes.
You see, it's like being scammed, right? So you believed that con artist, and you bought that sweepstakes ticket, and you were conned, you were fooled. So good, you know, you see that, you learn from it, and you kind of recommit to not falling for that kind of thing so readily the next time. Now, are you doing the recording and listening practice?
No, I haven't done the recording yet. I think where I've been holding myself back is I kind of don't feel I know what to say, and so I've been unfortunately procrastinating about it.
Okay. This is, I don't know if you've heard me say this, but one of the happiest things that I've learned as a result of that practice is that I don't need to talk to anyone else.
Wow.
When I get upset about something, I can talk it right into the recorder.
Okay.
And then I can listen to that. I can get the kind of wisdom. So, you know, when you talk to your friend at work about what was mm-hmm. going on, you were hoping for somebody to say, well, yeah, you know, I understand. You know, it's hard when, or wow, that seems really upsetting to you, or whatever it is. And you can get that same kind of understanding and comfort, and there's no karma.
Wow.
Right? 'Cause you,
that would be,
recorder,
that would be very nice.
Yeah, your recorder isn't going to look at you when you walk into the room like, whew, that was an ugly little tirade you just went through.
Yes.
Yeah. So using it kind of as a therapist, a best friend, a lot of people get into, I've got to come up with this thing and it's got to, no. When you're upset, just pick it up and vent just the way you would to anybody that you could get to stand still and listen to you.
Yes.
And then listen to it and say whatever else is there and listen for that mentoring voice, not telling you you shouldn't feel that way or, you know, anything like that, but just, yeah, you know, getting upset is human. It's how we handle it. It's what we do with it. How do you take care of yourself through that? And that, having that kind of relationship with the wisdom that animates you takes you out of that position that self-hate wants to put you in of, you know, getting you to do something or say something unfortunate and then beating you up afterwards.
Yes, it pretty much exactly what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, so, do you recommend if I tirade into a tape recorder, do I listen back to it or just kind of let it get out of my system?
No, you do, because the wonderful part about it is that the person who's venting is not going to be the same person who's listening.
Wow. Okay, that's big. Yeah.
It is big. There's another exercise that we were just on retreat, and one of the big exercises that people did on this retreat was the two-chair exercise. And so what you do, and this sounds crazier than talking into a recording device, okay, but it's phenomenal. So you set up two chairs, and then you become you sit in one chair, and you're the person who's so upset. And you just let her go on and on, and then you get up when she gets to a place of completion, you go sit in the other chair, and you speak to her as a compassionate, kind friend, mentor about, you know, you reflect her, you listen to her. When that feels complete, you get up, you go over in the other chair, and you let her talk again. And you actually have a conversation between the part of you who's upset and the wise mentor.
Wow. That's
again,
a great idea.
Yes, there's another no karmic residue.
Just don't let the neighbors see you do it.
That's right. That close the curtain.
But yeah, that sounds great. I'll definitely try that.
Yeah, try both of those. And
yes, I'll try both.
And then let me know, because I really, especially with the recording device, I really want people to see that it truly is having access to the Buddha all the time. You can talk about anything. You can, you can say what you feel. You can get advice, guidance, help, support, understanding. You know, yes, you want to put in a lot of things that bring you back to center and that you find beautiful and inspiring, but also you can use it in that way. It's having your own very own unconditionally loving best friend around who wants to talk and listen all the time.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So let me know.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful
so
talking
welcome.
To you. You guys have a great night. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Stay warm.
Bye. Bye. Yeah, we'll try. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Dana. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, what if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Dakota.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Been on any good retreats lately?
Oh, man, let me tell you. That was just the best treat. I mean, it's I'm practicing restraint and not just running up and down the streets singing hallelujah and telling everybody about it. But it's just so good. I love Sangha and the guidance, and it just, like I heard you talking with another caller, the voices are never going to go away, and they just keep doing their thing, but there's just such opportunities for peace and joy in the middle of that with the help
yes.
of Sangha and the guide
yeah.
and the work that I do.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, and the thing is, we really do have the keys to the kingdom. You know, that's the combination. We know what to do. We know how to do it. We can do it. We do it. And what's available to us is freedom and joy.
It's so true. I can really feel that that's true. And,
yeah.
And it seems to be... my experience that it just takes absolute commitment to every moment to just
yes.
being vigilant for those voices and to choosing not to believe them because they are relentless.
Yes. Yeah, they are. I was doing something recently, and I watched somebody with a little dog, And people often don't take care of children and animals the way I think they should be taken care of. That's, you know, I may be the only person who holds those kinds of attitudes, but anyway, I was just watching and thinking, oh, I really wish they would pay closer attention to that little dog, because it was in circumstances that were really quite dangerous. And, you know, maybe it was going to be okay without anybody helping it out, but the odds were really good that it wasn't going to go well. And it reminded me of exactly what you just said. You know, here we are in this world, and we are kind of like that little dog. You know, we have all of these very young, vulnerable parts of us who need a lot of attending to. They're not capable of being left on their own in the world. And so in that same way that I felt moved to kind of scoop that little dog up and make sure that it's watched in the sense of being kept safe, I want to take care of myself in that same way. You know,
yeah.
And it is a second by second by second paying attention.
Yeah, yeah. It sure is.
Mm-hmm.
Since leaving the retreat, I've been moved to really engage actively with the recording and listening, and I loved the advice to just press the button and record whatever's going on.
Uh-huh.
And I've just been doing that. And anytime something that I recognize as an Eightfold Voice comes up, I record it. And this is what the voices are saying, and this is who's here, the young person that's listening to it, and see if words arise from the mentor, and they always do, and been listening to it, and it's really good.
Yeah, and somebody said to me after this retreat, made the observation that what people used to get stuck in for years, and if it's a really, if you're having a really good practice time, months, people are now able to shoot through in kind of rapid fire sort of a way, you know, in just the way you described. You know, it comes up, I talk it all out, whoever is there gets acknowledged, I acknowledge that all of that stuff being done to that person is not true, it's invalid, I don't have to listen to it or pay attention to it, it's okay, you're fine. The mentor comes in with some wisdom, and boom, it's over. I'm free to just go on with life.
Wow. Yeah. That's what I aspire to, and that's what I'm going to practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I was quoting you, so I'm guessing that you're already doing that.
Well, I guess I am. I guess
yeah,
I am.
It just sounded different when you heard me say it.
Yeah, right. That's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was kind of looking for a little guidance, maybe a little homework that I can practice with. That voices and conditioning, their favorite content to get me with is relationship.
Mm.
I've seen so much in looking at it and using the recording and listening.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen the layers of conditioning that are heaped on top with all the expectations and rules and stuff. And then I also see this person underneath that is excited about the opportunity to practice unconditional love with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there really feels a lot of sweetness and love in the relationship. And
mm-hmm.
there's other parts that get really frustrated about, they get frustrated kind of about not getting what they want exactly.
Uh-huh.
And what I've been seeing is voices of conditioning and self-hate coming in and saying over and over and over and over, you don't want to be in this relationship. The fact that you're having a hard time means there's something wrong. You should leave it, but you're too afraid to. You need to make a decision. The fact that you feel this ambivalence means that you should leave, and if you don't, you're a liar and a hypocrite, they call me.
Mm.
And they kind of, I had this great image of like them with little syringes of adrenaline just hitting me with them too, because the whole body goes into mm-hmm. this real chest tight, throat closed, third chakra kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been recording and listening with that, and I've been getting guidance from the mentor that those are voices of self-hate and that I don't need
mm-hmm.
to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's nothing wrong with me, no matter how I feel and no matter what I choose to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's been helpful.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah.
when you were talking, I thought, wow, and I bet she never treats you as badly as they do.
No way. I mean, there's no, nope.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of funny.
She's
because,
a saint compared
yeah,
to them.
Yeah, yeah. Because when we're listening to them, if we're not careful and we don't know what's going on, they're the good guys. You know, they're on my side. They're taking care of me.
Yeah.
Against that other enemy person who's, and it's like, wait a minute now. Where's the hatefulness in this relation? Oh, it's you guys.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's it, because that's where it gets dangerous and slippery, is when I think that's me and they're on my side. And, man, I'm seeing that they're not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, of course, as soon as they talked you out of the relationship, they would start in on what an idiot you were for leaving the relationship and what a mistake that is and how now you've blown it and you're never going to have such a good relationship again until you get into the next relationship, at which point, you know, whatever side you're on, they're going to get on the opposite.
It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
They just hate me and want me to suffer, and that's the bottom line. They're going to find a way to try to do that.
Yeah. And I really like what, well, I don't know if this is what you really said or meant, but it's what I heard, that this is your opportunity to practice unconditional love.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're going to be in the relationship forever. It doesn't mean that you're going to leave next week. It doesn't mean anything. It means you're practicing unconditional love. You're practicing it for you, and you're practicing it for the person that you're in relationship with. That's
yeah.
it. And you're practicing that against karmic conditioning and self-hate, because they're the ones with the, you know, well, they're doing that, and she's doing that, and why is this, and that's it, you know, all that grumbling and grousing, and I don't like it, and I don't want to be this way. So this just occurred to me. I don't think we've ever talked about this, but it's in the beginning of When You're Falling Dive, what I've started calling the pillow exercise, you know, where...
Oh, okay.
Two people are on opposite sides of a problem, and then they go to the place inside that drew them together in the first place, the love that they feel for one another, sit close together, put the problem out in front of them, and then together from that place of love, look at resolving the problem.
That's nice.
Isn't that good? And so it
yeah.
can be anything, including... you know, voices of self-hate that are grousing and grumbling about whatever is going on. You know,
ooh,
how can
I love it.
How can we solve that? And I go to the Imago work, you know, where the understanding is, wait a minute, I'm not doing what I'm doing because I want you to be unhappy. You know, I want you to be happy. So how do we both get happy in these circumstances?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Gosh, mm-hmm. there was just this really rotten, sneaky voice that just popped in right as you said that last thing that said, that sounds like a lot of work, and it seems like you're trying hard to make something work that isn't working. And
yeah.
That's the same voice.
Yes, because what you're actually doing is working hard to get rid of the voice that makes life so trying.
Yeah, and I know with that goal in mind, there's no way to go wrong.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. You can't lose. And whatever happens with the relationship, neither one of you can lose.
Right.
Because you're going to be working to do whatever it is that you do together from a place of unconditional love. Will you always be successful? No. Of course not. That's not the point. The point is making our best effort to be as loving as we can be in every moment.
Hmm. Wow, that is good stuff. I can't wait to listen to this again.
I think you have your homework.
Yeah, I definitely do. Yeah. And I've got a great tool to use with that recording and listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Have fun.
I will. You too.
All right. Bye. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to stop, drop, and breathe, and then we'll be back.
All right.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
This from Living Compassion.
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry,
you know, Michael, hang on just one second. I was thinking as I was listening to that ad for Sangha Market, putting that together with Awareness Junkie Man and Jen talking earlier about the 10th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk. Now, that's a way that people can generate some money should they choose to do it. So I hope everybody's thinking about coming to the event and wondering how they would afford to get there or how they would do fundraising or those kinds of questions that conditioned mind always wants us to grapple with, that participating in Sangha Market could be a great step forward in meeting any financial goals.
Yes. And do you want to, for folks who are new to Sangha Market or don't know what it is, do you want to remind them?
Yeah, well, it's just an online, they call it an auction, but it's really not. It's a, you know, you go online and you you can have a storefront or you can have individual items and you post them for sale. And a percentage, it has to be at least 20%, but it doesn't have to be more than 20% of the proceeds go to Living Compassion. And then up to 80% can go to the person selling the product. So it's a great way to have a little side business or, you know, collect collectibles and sell them that way, and the Sangha, the practice benefits and the individual benefits. So the, and person can do it for anything, can do it, you know, raise money, as Jen was saying, for that plane ticket out to the bridge walk or raise money directly for the kids in Cantalomba, or you know, whatever a person wants to do. It's a fun way to do it.
Yeah, it's a fun way to do it.
And it's a Sangha way to do it. It's all participating with Sangha.
Yeah, and if people have used eBay, it's a lot like that, online marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you pointed out earlier, and as you did just now, it's a way to bring income to ourselves as well as supporting the practice.
Precisely.
It's a win-win.
Yeah. It's a win-win. Yeah, exactly.
Great. And we have some more callers.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. This is George.
Hi, George.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, some really big, believable stuff has happened recently in the lives of my wife and myself, which find us in the doctor's offices quite a bit. They're both kind of big, you know, big deals, really, really real kind of things that conditioned mind can take a hold of and say, now this is really serious and this is really bad and this is really awful and this is something you need to feel awful about and be victimized by and so on and so forth. And so I find myself sitting in medical offices quite a bit, waiting to see a doctor or waiting to pick up my wife or whatever. And so it's just an excellent time to put in the little earbuds and listen to my recordings.
Yes, it is.
And what a difference it makes.
Yep.
I mean, just an unbelievable change in perspective and attitude and feeling in appreciation for life, appreciation for the breath, even, you know, not knowing what's going to happen next or just how really serious it all is and all of that. And yet I find myself thinking about or feeling so grateful for the life that I have had and still have.
Yes.
However long it lasts or, you know,
yes,
whenever it ends or whatever, it's just and I'm getting this feeling of you know, there is just no time for those conversations with
let's all stop and take that in. Yes, there is no time for those conversations. There never has been, and there never will be. So
yeah, I mean,
it's perfect, isn't it? Because what they want it to do is dominate your attention throughout your life as if you were going to live forever.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Then when it appears you're not, then they want to dominate your attention about how awful that is.
Yes.
And the in both cases, what there is never any time or space for is you to have your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so there just isn't any time anymore to entertain those stories of suffering. You know, it's mm-hmm. just, it's, I find myself more and more of the time saying, you know, we're not going to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, often what would happen is that I would get in an argument with self-hate, you know, like, well, now, wait a minute, that's not true because of this, this, and this, and I'm really an okay person because of this and this, and I'm really not that bad, and then it would be, but what about this, what about that, you know, and it would be this kind of back and forth thing, which is just, you know, which is
nuts.
Still a waste of time.
It's crazy is what it is when we stop and get that kind of distance on it, right?
Yeah. Well,
I'm arguing with a voice in my head about whether or not I'm a decent person.
Right, right. Right. And I realize how much of that I have done. Oh, my God. So it's just so much easier to say, I think that conversation could lead towards suffering, so I don't think I'll have it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll go there.
And I like to encourage people to follow that sentence with, what I want to talk about is,
yes.
And then launch into how great life is and
mm-hmm.
everything that's working and all the blessings and the love in your life
yep.
and what's
yep.
most beautiful and whatever it is. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Turning the attention, you know.
Yes.
Quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention. So, you know, let's put the attention on quality.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you want to be, you know, with unconditional
yeah.
love and acceptance and compassion and kindness and gratitude and appreciation and
yes, that's what I want in this moment. And
yeah.
when we, as soon as we wake up to it, we realize all I've ever had is this moment. And of course, now the voices that talk us into not being present for most of the moments in our lives want to beat us up for having missed them as a way to miss the current ones. And so just to drop all the nonsense and realize,
yeah.
hey,
yeah.
I'm here now, and and this is where I want to live.
I'm here. Look around. Smile.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate. Take a deep breath and
mm-hmm.
relax and
mm-hmm.
just
and
be.
Live.
And
yeah.
if there's feel like you need to do something, you turn on the recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Put the
yeah.
earplug. Put the earbud in.
Yeah.
There.
All better.
There's nothing better. There's nothing better to do.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, what am I here for? I'm here to end suffering. So let's see. What shall I do? How about ending suffering? Let's listen to some, let's do some recording or listen to some recording.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple.
Yes, and to have that tool to be able to take care of the folks inside who are legitimately scared or upset
yeah.
or
yeah.
whatever it is. Not the self-hating voices that want to take advantage of an opportunity, but the folks who are really waking up to, this might not turn out the way everything else has turned out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can be there for them with words
yeah.
of comfort and encouragement and kindness and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, well, let me know,
yeah.
huh?
All right.
All right. All right. Thanks, George.
Yeah.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, George. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Lorraine from Washington, D.C.
Hi there.
Hi there.
What's going on in Washington, D.C.?
I had a really bad day, so I thought I would finally call the show. So it's my first time finally calling Open Air.
Well, good.
Yeah. So.
And so what happened?
I got a circumstance from a person that I didn't want to have any more circumstances with. And then I just felt like all my years of trying to do the practice and listen to my recordings and everything didn't matter because I was still really upset all day. And so
the conclusion that karmic conditioning, well, self-hate would want you to reach is, so nothing you've done has worked because you can still be upset.
Yeah. And
rather than how fortunate that I have all this awareness and all of these tools for being able to support someone who's really struggling.
Right, that didn't cross my mind.
No, it wasn't supposed to. Conditioning was coming in for the kill, and you're not supposed to have those kinds of thoughts. right? That's why it's just jamming the airspace with all of these messages about the situation and what's wrong with you because you're in it. Yeah?
Yep. So what should I do?
Well, so you do the recording, right? That's mm-hmm. part of your practice. Mm-hmm. And have you ever done the two chair exercise?
No.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So did you hear me talking about it earlier, or shall we run through it?
No, I heard, yep, and I've heard it before, yeah.
Okay.
And I've done the non-dominant hand at other times when I've been upset, but this one seems too big for that.
Okay. So, yeah, so try the two chairs.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here's the deal about upset. The way upset is maintained, of course, is through a story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you get upset, maybe you cry or whatever it is that goes on, and then it's over. And if you notice, then the story has to start up again in order to work you up to get upset, to cry again or whatever happens. Yes?
Right.
So, of course, a big part of our success is not letting that story be told again.
Yeah, how do you do that?
So, well, here's my encouragement. First of all, you want to do the two chair exercise so that the person that this happened to can tell her story, you know, can get it out.
Okay.
Okay, because she's upset, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the mentor listens to her and facilitates her and draws her out and lets her say everything that she needs to say, express everything about the level of upset that she has, okay? And then you move into the taking care of her, right? So what would she need to hear? If you had a best friend who was unconditionally loving, what would your best friend say to you?
All I can think of is you shouldn't be feeling this way.
That's self-hate.
Yeah.
And so I don't think you would get rid of a best friend who said
yeah.
those things to you, right?
Right.
Yeah. So how about something along the lines of, hey, it's how you feel. It's okay to feel how you feel. We don't really have a lot of control over how we feel. So this is how you feel. It's okay. Feel it. Tell me about it. What goes on? What? Yeah?
Okay.
And so you, if I were your best friend and, you know, you've had this miserable day and this awful thing has happened to you and we go out to dinner and you're going to talk about it. This and that, and I'm so upset, and I can't believe it. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And I just nod sympathetically and let you know that I find you complete, just as lovable as you were last week, and that it's fine, and this too shall pass, and it's life, and it's okay, and you're okay. There's nothing to feel bad about, and... that true?
That would be good to hear.
Yeah. And so that's what you need to hear. And the mentor, of course, knows that all of that is true. And what I project you're trying to get past is self-hate.
Yeah.
Because that's the dominant conversation that you're in. This is a mistake. You shouldn't be feeling this way. You shouldn't have been in that situation. This should never have happened. You shouldn't have let it happen. I'm making all this up because I don't know what happened, of course.
Right.
Something along those lines, right? It's your fault. Yeah?
Right.
Yeah. So you need to let that person talk about how bad she feels and all of that. Let the mentor reassure her, which the mentor will, because anybody in their right mind would. And the
the mentor is in her right mind and heart. Okay? And then what you do, here would be my best encouragement. You make a recording of all of the things that you've done to try to be the best person that you could be. You know, you talk about what's important to you and how you try to be in the world and what you want for the world and what you want for yourself and how you want to take care of other people and all of that. Can you picture that?
Yes.
Yes? You record all of that.
Okay.
And then you listen to it over and over and over because that's the real information and that's your best proof that's who you really are, authentically are. And when you're listening to that, it's very, very hard for the voices of self-hate to get to you. That's what we want to have happen. We want a little block there so that they don't have that kind of access to you.
Well, see, they were tricked at their own game because they had me so upset that I just called. And I always wanted to call before when I wasn't this upset.
Well, I'm surprised, actually, that you were allowed to call. So, something other than karmic conditioning and self-hate actually punched those numbers. Yeah?
Yes.
Do you get a sense of that? Yeah. So that's the person you really want to talk to. That's somebody who's on your side.
Okay. Well, it wasn't as terrifying as I'd always thought it would be.
Say what?
It wasn't as terrifying as I thought it would be before.
No. Nothing to it. But would you please tell me what your program is? I don't want you to have to wait to listen to the archives. What's your program to get you through the night? What are you going to do first?
Record something better about what the good stuff I've done. Because the recording I did today was just bad. It was just the self-hate. So I'll record again, and I'll do the two chairs.
Yeah, do the two chairs. Let her say everything, and then give her the support, the loving kindness that you would give to anybody else who was suffering the way she's suffering. Yeah, you saw if you had a friend who was going through what you're going through now, you know that's the kind of thing you want to say to her. You know what you would say, right, to somebody you love who's feeling the way you're feeling now?
Yeah.
And here's a big clue. It wouldn't be, you shouldn't be feeling that way.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to take care of her, maybe whatever you like, if you like hot baths or, something soothing and special, maybe some quiet time and, you know, meditation or, you know, just somewhere finding a peaceful spot, a little guided imagery maybe where you go to a lovely, relaxing place and, you know, just to soothe and take care of yourself.
I did go for a long walk in the woods this afternoon too.
Good. Very good. Yeah. And then get those earbuds in there and block out those voices. Just, you know, so I was on a theme at this retreat that we just did. When the voices of self-hate come at you, so you hear a voice say, well, you know, you shouldn't be feeling that way. Then you can just say, well, you know, you're probably right. But what I'm focusing on is compassion and kindness, you know. Well, this is all your fault because, you know, you're probably right. But I'm turning my attention to kindness and compassion. And you just keep repeating it.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Take care of her. You're the only one who can.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you so much. And thanks, Michael, and all the Sangha people, too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Lorraine. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I really appreciated how you really stuck with her there, and she really hung in there too.
Oh, yeah. It's so hard when the, you know, I just hate self-hate. I just could. I could just get quite worked up about it, because to put somebody in that kind of vulnerable place, and you know you're dealing with a little person who's taken the brunt of all that cruelty, and get somebody in that kind of vulnerable place and then just pound on them and pound on them and pound on them. It's so cruel. And to think that we have been conned into believing that it's for our own good, mm-hmm. that it's doing something beneficial for us, keeping us from making the same mistake in the future. Ah.
Crazy.
Crazy. All right. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Oh, thank you. I feel so lucky to be a part of this. It's a great privilege.
Yes, I agree. It is for me, too. So we shall do it again next week?
I will look forward to it.
All right, me too. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.